So we did dodge this storm. It's kind of dumping a lot of snow up in New England. But you know, this isn't the time when we usually have our big snowstorm. That's usually in February, President's Day. So we have plenty of opportunity for more snow to kind of hit. So, you know, this time when we start thinking about, you know, winter, January, February, March, we start thinking of things like snow shovels and ice scrapers. If you have a fireplace, you might want your wood close by the house. And you want to make sure things are insulated well. And you get your winter coats out, your hats, your gloves, all that stuff. And then, of course, there's the one thing that warms us all that we love about this time of year, at the beginning of each year, and that is getting ready for our tax returns. It is always a joy to sit down and just start figuring those things out. Now, all throughout the year, at least about six times a year, I sit down, I keep all my receipts in a place and all the bills, I sit down, I put them in files, and I mark on the file what's in them so that I can just tally everything up and hopefully be pretty good. Though I've noticed, have you noticed that all these receipts that you get now disappear? You know, the ink disappears, so I have to start writing in the totals on each of the receipts. And I don't know. That's just a terrible thing. I know you can scan them in. I haven't got to that place yet. You know, one of the things I notice when I sit down and I'm doing the taxes, I notice what I spend my money on. I notice my investments. I notice, you know, retirement. I notice all these things as I'm looking at all the stuff. I'm looking at the mortgage payments. And I don't just see money, but I see time, because some of the things are what I do with my time and or my abilities, or if I'm making home improvements or whatever it is. You know, it represents a lot more than just time. An investment is more than just, money. An investment is more than just money. There is a time and talent and treasure aspect, and we say that a lot. A lot of churches use that terminology, time, talent, and treasure. So we're going to be talking about that today. But as I was preparing for my taxes and thinking about the message today, I was thinking about Jesus and the parable of the talents. So if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to open up to Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 29. We'll be reading this together. I'll make a few comments. And then today, especially if you're a new person to White Marsh, today, we actually started this last year. We're going to kind of do a year-end review about what all went on in 2018, just so it'll encourage us for 2019. Okay. So beginning with verse 14. For it will be like a man, and Jesus is talking about when the kingdom of heaven comes, when he comes back. These are parables in the couple chapters here, talking about when he comes back and what's to be expected. And he says, for it will be like a man going on a journey, because Jesus is about to leave, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. So he's giving them some responsibility and trust that he's giving these servants responsibility. They are basically going to be acting as stewards. We don't use that term so much, but caretakers, investors of the property that he's given to them. To one, he gave five talents, and to the other two, and to the other one, to each according to his ability. So the thing that you need to really point out here is that God, when Jesus gives us things that he wants us to do or to invest in, he doesn't give us anything beyond our ability. He gives according to what we can do, what he can work through us. Then he goes on, and that is okay. There's some people who can do a lot more. They can multitask. They can do a whole lot. And there's somebody who can do one thing, and they do it well. And he goes on, and he says, then he went away. He who had received the five talents went at once and traded with them, and he made five talents more. So also he who had the two talents made two talents more. Now, that's 100% increase. That's a good investor. You find these guys, invest with them. But he who had received the one talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. You know, every now and then you hear about people who don't trust banks and all that, and they hide their money in their mattresses or in their, in the coffee cans or something like that. Sometimes that happens. I know my dad, as he got older, he didn't quite trust banks. He still put money in banks, but all of his medicine bottles, empty ones, he put money in. They were all over the house, because just in case. And it goes on. It says, now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So, accountability. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered me 5 talents here. I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. So he did a great job. He's given him a little bit more to do. Get him more responsibility. And also, who had the 2 talents came forth, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. So again, he's getting more to do because he has grown. He's expanded. He also, who had received 1 talent, came forward saying, Master, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you had scattered no seed. And so I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you can have what is yours. So, first he's talking about, you're kind of a hard guy, and I was a little afraid. He's making excuses, but he's blaming the master. And then he says, so I hid it, but here, this is actually what belongs to you. There's some statement here that says, you take things that don't really belong to you. I mean, it's weird. And this guy, if he's afraid, he's not showing it by what he's saying. But his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I had not scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. Because nowadays that would be what? 1/3 of a percentage point, And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will more be given, and he who will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. So we're talking about investment. Now, a lot of what we're going to talk about today is about money investment and money and placing it in what really matters. And we think that what we do for the kingdom of God really matters. But it's not just money. It is talent and it is time. And we'll be talking about this. And we're just going to take a look and a review of 2018. Because sometimes we don't know what's happening. Sometimes we're just shocked by all the things that have happened in the last year. So first of all, let me just say thank you for allowing God's generosity flow through you in 2018. We recognize, somebody will say, do you know who the biggest giver in your church is? I said, I know who the biggest giver in the church is. And I don't mind sharing that information. The biggest giver in our church is God. Now, bigger channels, that's a whole different thing, right? We're all channels for his blessing. We're all channels for what he gives to us. And it's kind of a flow through kind of thing that he has called us to. So let me just talk to you, first of all, that for last year in our budget giving, just general budget giving, no special offerings, nothing else, no frills, over $307,000 in budget giving. So thank you for that. That is a little lower than what it was in 2017, not by much, but a little bit. But we had a couple of our main families retire and move away, and others who retired and still here. So the moral of the story is no more retiring. But that's okay. We still made budget. So we're very glad about that. We're happy about that. So thank you for that. Thank you for letting that flow through. Now, in our benevolence offerings, and I'm not quite sure, this figure is probably pretty low, but it is over $7,000, could be over $10,000. There's a little bit of the information that I had that I needed to clarify, and because the week was crazy, I didn't get to clarify it. But I know at least $7,000 in benevolence offerings, what we take up on Sunday mornings, during Lord's Supper time. That helps 7 households. this last year, some with a lot of children. And these are households that you may have recommended to us or people that we've come across that actually had a real need, that actually needed help. They were not able-bodied or some tragedy happened to them, and we were able to help them in that moment. And it's just an opportunity to minister to them. And that is the primary priority of that benevolence offering, helping families in need. But we also recognize there's the benevolence thing is making a benevolent benefit. It's to benefit those around us. So we also made a contribution to the White Marsh Volunteer Fire Department because they built a new building. And we recognize two things. There's two things of why we gave them a small donation. It's one is that we recognize they serve our community and put their lives in danger, right? We should honor that. And two, if the building catches on fire, they will probably be one of the fire companies to respond, and we want them to like us. You know, so if they come, we want them to like us. The second one that we did, we also sent a check to the Amy Capria Memorial for the Baltimore County Police Department. She was a police officer that was murdered this last year, not really far from here. It was a wound to our community, but it was a deep wound to our police officers. And we wanted them to know that we cared about their loss. And then also we did hurricane relief and fire relief. There is a lot that went through with that money. And so we just appreciate everybody who contributed to that. Now, out of our general money that we receive, you know, in our budget, over $30,000 goes to mission causes. So over about 10% we give away immediately, just goes out of here. And it goes to our international missions through the cooperative program. Helps missionaries all around the world. We, you know, the Southern Baptist Convention supports about 5,000 missionaries out on the field internationally. It also goes to national missionaries, including disaster relief folks. There's about 5,000 of them, too, serving in North America, so we contribute to them. There is local, our Baptist Convention of Maryland, Delaware, and our Baltimore Baptist Association that we contribute to. As well as Staros, which you know we're very familiar with. It's a ministry that works with addicts and their families, a very important ministry. And also we gave to the Christopher School in India. Isaac, who used to be here, serves in India. They have a small school in the silk manufacturing district of India. And what you don't, if you may not know that when children are getting old enough to really do much of anything, like 4 or 5 years old, if they are not in school, they are put into these silk factories. Very dangerous work for small children. But if they can go to school, they don't have to do that. Costs money to go to school. Except for the Christopher School, it's free. And they do as many as they possibly can. Because they're a Christian school, they have a lot more regulations than a normal school. So we support them, and that's very important. There's some additional giving that we've done, youth fundraisers, such as the one coming up Wednesday night, and also the youth yard sale. The youth actually work those things to earn money to go to camp in the summer. Last year, we were able to raise enough that everyone got to go minus their $50 fee. Yeah, we do believe everybody should pay something, so everybody had to pay their $50 registration fee, but the rest of it was clear. So that's very nice. Thank you for that generosity that you allow to flow through you, and also to Operation Christmas Child. And we'll talk a little bit about more of these ministries, too, in a little bit, in just a few more moments. Now, our campus is an important aspect to what we do, our building and our property, and I try to refer to the building as our campus because it's not the church. The church is us. But I understand that the building is referenced as a church. So we're going to talk about some notable improvements to it. It's important because it is a tool. It is something that we use to minister. It's kind of a base of operations, if you will. So there have been some notable improvements. One was the church sign that you notice out front. Very nice to have that. It has really made it easy to kind of get information out to the public than what we used to have to do. When it got put in, people kept saying the county will never permit it. They permitted it. Then people said, well, the county will never let you raise it. They let us. It was like a miracle that even happened. But just to remind you, that church, the church sign actually cost us nothing out of our own budget. There were two families that stepped up and gave money for that church sign to be bought, installed. So we're very grateful for that. And what really was another miracle was that our neighbors seemed to be okay with it. Because I was just thinking, they are not going to like that sign. I was bright. And we did get one complaint the first night because they put some test pattern on it and left it all running all night. I came up here and the thing was flashing and bringing. I'm like, oh. Yeah, we got one call. She said, I like your new sign, but can you turn it off by 10? So we turned it off by 9:40. So we just... The other neighbor said, we kind of like that sign because when we let the dogs out, we can see them in the middle of the night. So there's always a blessing somewhere in it. So we like that. As you know, we got a new roof put on the building. Everything that is shingled has been replaced, including the shed, garage out front. And basically, that was covered mostly by insurance. It'll probably cost us $2,000 to $10,000. Which is cheap for this, because it was a $120,000 roof. And so that's a lot, and it really is going to cost us very little. God protected us and watched out for us. It was needing to be replaced, and he sent a storm and messed it up, and we got it replaced. In the educational wing, we got 4 air conditioning units for the educational wing, and that had been cost prohibitive for a while. But, one of the things, and I'll tell you, we try to be good stewards. We have a stewardship team. We try to be really good stewards of the money. We don't just go out and buy things. We actually have a process of buying things. And so we go through the process. We try to find things on sale. We try to find things donated. We buy things used. We do whatever we can to save as much money as we can. And we've been able to save a lot of money over time because we know the building was it's getting an age to it where it needed work. And so we were going to replace 1 or 2 air conditioning units, and the contractor said, well, if you do 4, I'll give you this break. Well, we had that money. And so we did that because the stewardship team really made sure that things were taken care of, and we appreciate their work on that. Obviously, the TV screens in the sanctuary, that was nice to addition this year, and thank the people who came out and helped with that. And when you look at all these things... there's people that are involved. Like in the TV screens put in here, we had to run cable from that booth all the way up here and through the platform and up and around and over and try to hide it so you can't see the wires. You can't see very many of them. And there are people who came, took their time. They worked here. They had their talent because I wouldn't have been able to run that cable like that. And they got it through, fished it all through underneath the floor here and up and under the platform and up the sides. And we appreciate that. So, and it helps. It's better than looking over at that other screen where everybody turns away. And this way we kind of face each other and have a better communication aspect to our presentations on Sunday morning. And then the other thing that happened right before the end of the year was our sanctuary got painted. I know it might not look changed to you. It's a lot brighter than what it was. Same color. And that was because the contractor, one of the contractors who was doing some painting, fixing some storm damage, came and said, I've seen what you do during the week. He's been here during the week. And there's all kinds of activities going on. And he says, I'm really impressed by this. I don't even know if he goes to church anywhere. And he said, I would like to paint your sanctuary for free. So it cost us nothing to have the sanctuary painted. Now he says, I'm not going to paint these little rooms. You guys will have to do that. So guys, time and talent, in those little rooms. He says, I can whip this out really fast. They did it in 2 days. And while he was here, he found out that right up at the top here where the steeple is, there was no insulation. It was actually very, very thin plastic. So we were like a chimney with the heat going out. And so he insulated that for us. So isn't that nice? So that should save us a little bit of money with our heating bill. And see, there's somebody who never even heard of us, walked through the campus, seen some things that touched his heart, and he wanted to bless us. Isn't that nice? That's just amazing. Of course, we have our regular ministries that are ongoing all the time. We have our Sunday mornings, and you know, there's a lot that's going on here. A lot of times you see the praise team up here and the musicians, but there's always somebody in the back running the slides, and you know, and the people who do come out during the week and run cables and fix mics and make sure the monitors are right and testing some things, making sure they're right. People who come and hang TVs up on walls for classrooms and do a variety, make repairs on sinks and toilets and all kinds of things are that go on the campus. But on Sunday mornings, you see all kinds of people here ministering and working, ushers, greeters, Sunday school teachers, people that teach the children's departments, the Sunday school classes, the nursery during the second service. These are all things that need volunteers, and they need people to use their time and their talent. And when I say talent, you also can include abilities, because sometimes we think, I don't have any talents, but we have a lot of abilities. Sometimes our abilities tie our shoe, button our shirts, we can do a whole lot of things, thousands of abilities. And even working in the nursery, people say, well, I just can't get down on the floor with those kids. You don't have to get down on the floor with those kids. We'll put you in a chair in front of the door and just keep them in. Just keep them in. Or put you down the hall in a chair and tell people, unless you're going to work in a nursery, don't come down this hall. There are all kinds of opportunities to help on Sunday mornings, whether it's ushering or greeting or working in a nursery. And sometimes people don't want to work in the nursery on the second service because they say, I don't want to miss church. But we had two services. So we like to tell people you can attend one and serve the other. So it gives you an opportunity that, you know, and maybe you think you can't be in the nursery or every week, once a quarter. Once a quarter is good. That's helpful. And if you don't like to be around kids, you don't do that. We'll put you in the hall and you can keep people from wandering down it. You know, we would rather have no nursery than somebody go, you know, I don't really like you kids. That would be a disaster. Also on Sunday, on the afternoons, we have the Paul Baptist Church that meets here. And they have a variety of special events during the year. And sometimes those special events have like 400 people show up. But we also have people who come in the afternoon from White Marsh to kind of supervise the building. They're protecting the building. making sure that things are used, not abused. And because we want people to use the building, we just don't want them pulling sinks off the walls. Things like that. You know, we frown upon sinks being pulled off the walls. So, you know, there's opportunity for us to make a global impact just by allowing the Nepal Baptist Church to come. And when they have these special events, so many people come because they want their food. They want to hear their language. They want to be around people with their customs. It's important to them. I never fully realized that until I spent a week in Paris. And we were going to go to a French-speaking church, and then the timing wasn't right. So we ended up going to an English-speaking church. And I sat there, and I was like, this is kind of nice. To actually hear English, it didn't feel like work, of trying to interpret what people were saying. And so those are important. So, and we make our property available for a couple of groups, and we'll talk about that too. Last spring, we had an ESL class. We were not able to continue in the fall because we lost a couple of our volunteers. We actually received a grant to get that started, a small grant just to buy the initial books for those people. That were for participating, and that was nice from the Baltimore Baptist Association. We had actually an advanced class and a beginner class, we need a couple volunteers who can just be there every single week with this group. So if that's something that might interest you, talk to me about that. We have precept Bible studies that meet on Thursday nights. We have Sow the Word that meets on Saturday, the second Saturday every month. They too received a grant for to Sow the Word. They got an embroidery machine to help make comfort pillows and comfort quilts. So there's a lot that's good that goes on during the week and even on Sundays. Even like children's church, there's a lot of things that go on a Sunday morning that sometimes we don't realize that is happening. Ministries that are supported are like youth ministries, like I mentioned, through the fundraisers. Marsh Angels also supported through our ongoing giving and budget. And it actually was the Marsh Angels Wednesday that the guy said, I see what you're doing with these senior adults. I like that. So I want to paint your sanctuary. So that was nice. That was one of the ministries that he saw. And we depend on the volunteers for these ministries, because I'll be really honest. If we didn't have volunteers for youth and the Marsh Angels, we would not have youth or Marsh Angels. And, right now, this is kind of my little soapbox, is that we do have... I have a lot of young adults, a lot of single adults. If you sit down and just say, if people who attend like even once a month, who are between the ages of 18 and 25, 18 and 80 and 26 years old, that's like 20 people. And so, we really need volunteers to minister to that age group. We constantly need volunteers. We want to continue to make an impact. We need volunteers. There's community ministries that are supported through your giving and the things that you do, both time, talent, and your treasure. Chop of View Elementary School, we do a lunch for them at the end of every year. This has been something that's gone on for over a decade. And we feed about 90 teachers and staff there, just kind of bless them. And that's from 10 a.m. to about 2 p.m. We're doing that. Usually it's 80, 85 degrees, sometimes 90 degrees. And we talk about every year when we're getting ready, we think we should do other schools. And then by 2 o'clock, we go, no more schools. And because it really is hard. But if we had more volunteers, we could add another school. So, and it's funny when we talk to them, even in the fall, they said, you guys going to come back? That's our favorite time of the year. Teacher said, that's our favorite day. I'm like, are you kidding? The last day of school should be your favorite day. But they just love having us to come and grill hamburgers and hot dogs and bratwurst for them. So how nice is that? Vacation Bible School is another one. And I love Vacation Bible School because you get to see the whole church pretty much in action. We have a lot of volunteers, like 40, 50, 60 volunteers. And it does make an impact on our community. So that's very important for us to support. And we support that through our ongoing giving. Now the Fall Back in Love Concert. Again, there's a concert that we do that very labor-intensive, like Vacation Bible School, that they are practicing for months and months, getting that ready, and to kind of bless the community. Trunk or Treat, that one is a concentration of effort. Lots of things going on the day that happens. 2 years ago, we had over about 1,000 show up. And this year, we kind of worked it where it was just less than 500 because we weren't sure we could handle that any longer. But we changed the way we did things, and we think we can handle 1,000, maybe even a little bit more. So we'll see. We'll see what happens this coming year. But Trunk or Treat's a very important ministry. We have Children's Ministry Craft Day during the summer with our elementary kids. We had volunteers to do that. The Youth Christmas Crafts at the Frederick Mission. A rescue mission, they went up and helped these poor families make Christmas ornaments for their home. So that's our youth, kind of leading the way of volunteering. Operation Christmas Child, we were a ministry center here where people could drop it off. Some people dropped off a box, and some people dropped off 1,500 boxes. And since a lot of you were here when that happened, and you stayed and helped. But let me tell you, the very next day, I had to leave and go out of town, so I couldn't help move them to Timonium. But we had a whole bunch of men from our church come and load those boxes up and take them up to Timonium. And so we were so happy about that. And it was such a blessing to be able to just watch the church in action. We have a Christian school and a homeschool group that meet here. Christian school came to us in the fall and said they lost their place where they were meeting. They're looking for a place to be. So we worked out a deal because we know how much it costs to run each part of the building. The sanctuary costs a certain amount, the educational wing costs a certain amount, and the fellowship hall and the preschool wing, that costs a certain amount when electricity is running. We know these things. So all we ask is that when people use the facility, like the school, we say, you can have the whole fellowship hall and the preschool room, and we tell them the amount. And when they looked at the amount of what it was, like, are you kidding? That's it? I went, yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's all. And so here's a school, Christian school, that gets to meet here. They're wonderful kids come in and greet us all the time. They're happy, they're fun, they're very polite. So we're glad to be able to do that while they're looking for a place to be. And we also have a homeschool group that meets twice a month that comes and and does some corporate teaching. Other ministries that we support are prison ministry, nursing home ministry, that meets during the week or on the weekend. These are things that are so important for us to know that to be involved, help people to be involved in and to minister to. So all of these have things in common. I've been talking about it the whole time. They take time. And we all have the same amount of time. We all get the same amount of hours every week. Some of us are busier than others. Some of us have one job. Some have two jobs. Some are retired. Some don't have a job, but we are busy. We tend to get busy. And so there is an investment in time in order to carry out the ministries of the church. And it does take talent and abilities, because we want people to use their talent. We want people to use their abilities in certain ways, like I mentioned, running the cable underneath the floor and into the TVs, or hanging something on the wall, or painting, or repairing, or doing a variety, or teaching an ESL class. So there's abilities that are very vital. And then there's the investment of treasure, of our money. And so that's an important aspect too, because nothing is free. It does take money to run the church. We do pay salaries, and we thank you for the generosity to our salaries. And really, wow, what a nice generous gift that you gave to the staff for Christmas bonuses. Thank you so much for that. And and for the Christmas bonuses, just to make sure we divided it up equally among all the staff. There's not a pecking order of who gets more. So we appreciate you doing that. But it takes money to run this, run this complex. And like I said, we try to be really good about it. We monitor things. Let me just tell you that the sanctuary cost us $7 less this year for last month than it did the year before. So we monitor that, trying to find ways of saving some money. And so that's really important. So how do we start this? What are some of the steps in investing? Well, you should begin with prayer. Always begin with prayer. Really look at your calendar. Look at your time. Look where you're investing already. Maybe there's an extra hour a week. Maybe there's an extra hour a month. Maybe there's an extra hour a quarter that you can give. So, I like to be kind of involved in this ministry. I don't know how much time I have. I'm going to start praying about that. And so you just start asking God to open your eyes and helping you to see potential, which you might be able to do. Then give something. So you could begin praying about how much you need to give actually monetarily or time-wise, but give something. Maybe you're not, for instance, if you're not giving at all to church at any time, $5, $10, just give something. Maybe there's a ministry that you think you might want to give. Well, okay, I'll give you an hour or a work day. There's a great way to find out what you can or cannot do, or if you even like working with the people around you. Work days are always good. I can give you one Saturday. I'll give you a Saturday, 2 hours. I'll give you something. So just think about giving something. The third thing is, then if you give something, think about giving regularly. So let's say you say, I'm going to give $5, but I'm going to do that. Okay, I can do that every month. I'll give $5 every month. Or maybe it's every week. I'm just going to give something. Or maybe, I think I can work in that nursery, but only once a quarter. That's regular, so I'll do that. Or I can come to maybe not all the work days, but I'm going to try my best to come to 3 work days. Or, I got a lot of time. I got a lot of time on my hands. I can come out, maybe I can do the ESL class, or I can come and help watch the building on a Sunday, or do a special event. But think of what you can do on a regular basis. Then if you're already doing something, think about giving increasingly. Well, if there's one ministry you're involved, maybe you can just say, I can be kind of active in this other ministry. I can do that. A lot of times we just need people to work in the sound booth when the regular guys are gone. Well, I'll do that. Or I'll work at one Sunday a month. Just increase what you're already doing. For instance, we talked about that even in giving. Now, this last year when we adopted the new budget actually pushes us. It's about, we need about $500 on average more per week to make this new budget. That's the highest increase we have done in a few years now. And we recognize that that was kind of pushing a little bit, but we thought we'll just give it a little shove and push. And that sounds like a lot, $500, but that means that if every adult who attends both services, early service and the second service, every week gave $7, it's covered. It's more than covered. Just seven more dollars. So you see, a lot of times we think we have to do something big. But the reality is, a lot of small things can be big. That's why they talk about investing for your retirement. Just retire something. Just put something aside because it'll grow. And when we pull our resources, when we pull our time and our talent, it makes a huge difference. You know, for instance, just when the praise team is up here, you know, they practice about an hour on Wednesday nights, and then they're here, a lot of them are here at least an hour or two on Sunday mornings. And so when you take those hours, so let's just say on average there it's 2.5 hours per person that they're here and ministering, and you times it by the 10 or 12 that are here, that's 20 hours of work. But they're just giving a couple hours of their time, but together. See how that works? So there's an increase. But we also should give worshipfully. We should do things not out of compulsion, but and not grudgingly. If you're going to give money and go, oh, I hate this, don't give. Just don't do it. If you teach a class and you say, really, I do not like those children, don't teach it. If there's something you're doing and you feel like you have to and it just becomes a chore, well, I'd rather you just withdraw and start praying about that and really find the right thing. And maybe you just need a break to come back to it. But it should always be an act of worship. And so for 2019, I'm just asking that we would just consider how we're going to invest in the ministry of God here. Because, wow, look at 2018 and all the cool things that happened that God did. And I'm really excited to see what he'll do here. And, I mean, we're already looking at things like the garage now has a new roof. Now we need to weatherproof it so we can store things in it and make it look a little bit better because really it is ugly, right? So we want to fix that. And there are a couple other projects around the we're actually thinking about, we found out that there's hardly any good insulation in the educational wing. So we're looking at putting another layer of insulation up there that the guy says it might even pay for itself in 1 year, that we're losing heat so much in that educational wing. So, you know, there are things that we want to do that it continued improvement. Maybe we start an ESL class again, or maybe we'll start that singles ministry ministry up and working. There are things that are exciting that we would like to see happen, but it'll only happen if we all come together and do what God has called each one of us to do.